Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Paragraph Despair Show. This is our second video episode. If you're listening to us, oh, that's Chris. He's also part of this show. It's a 50-50 split between the two of us.
Yeah.
This is my week to host. We've made a number of changes to the show. We're only doing three segments now. We're trying to release on a more consistent schedule. We still are doing points, and where we're at right now is we reset at the beginning of the year. Chris is at 0 points. I'm at 2 points. Mm-hmm. The way we get points is made up. We agree on the rules. There's lots of different rules. Too many to get into right now. You'll hear more about it as we go through.
Pleasantries over?
Yep. That's how we start it.
Wait, the host has to announce it.
Yes, pleasantries are over. And now we're going to get into the first of our three segments. I'm just going to announce these segments so that folks listening know what they're in for.
So we can't change our minds.
Yeah. Yeah. So the first segment is what's the deal with award shows?
Right.
Next is movie time, where we talk a bit about some of the mobster movies. Mm-hmm. And then our last segment is a crystal ball. We look into the future of VR and discuss a little bit about that. So we're all over the place today.
Yeah.
And we can get right into
movie heavy.
Movie heavy, but that's fine.
Yeah.
First off is what's the deal with award shows?
Yeah, what is the deal with that? Seinfeld?
Yeah. Well, he didn't come up with the phrase what's the deal with.
Well, I don't know, but whenever someone says that, prefaces something, I think of like Jerry Seinfeld doing a comedy bit.
Yeah. I don't think it's fair that he gets to monopolize that phrase.
Yeah.
That'll be next week's segment. So my big question, I watched listened to this thing about how the Golden Globes are going down the toilet.
Yeah, which that's interesting.
Yeah. But even like...
All right, end of the segment.
Do you like award shows?
No.
Okay. What don't you like about them?
I don't like how... they try to make them seem important or relevant in order to award something. I don't know. I just think it's a weird standard, and mm-hmm. it's contradictory in people that, it took 35 years for Martin Scorsese to win an Oscar. Like, is that how we're judging movies? Like,
it's a good call. Yeah.
Like it's, I don't know. It feels like a scam. And then it turns out it is a scam. I think it's just a wrong method of awarding something
So you're talking specifically about the Oscars.
I mean, I'm talking any like Grammys are notably made fun of for being irrelevant, and what other award shows are there? The Spike Guy Awards.
Yeah. So how would you fix things like Scorsese not getting an Oscar for so long?
No Oscars.
Okay, so just no award shows?
No. I think I mean this approach works for movies, I think, more than TV shows, or it could work for TV shows. I guess if you change the how we present TV shows to the public, maybe less or so about music. But for movies, what I really think would be better, and people kind of do it. We kind of do it, but I think it should be kind of we should rely and focus and highlight film festivals more. And
so up and coming movies?
No, just film festivals. Like, in a lot of Oscar movies make their rounds at film festivals. You know, they go to the New York Film Fest. They go to Toronto, they go to Cannes, you know. I think they should have it be more like, so if you have a movie that's coming out mm-hmm. and you want the movie to do good throughout the year, you take it on a circuit like of award shows in each, you know, and then highlight smaller film festivals.
How like, do you highlight them? Like, are we making more? This?
Yeah, like make them more like relevant in like the final tally. Like they're important to like, you know, see how many award show wins you can rack up. Have certain things be specific to genre, right. And you know, you could have it so specific, and then just be like, oh, well, this movie had won a lot of the top tier film festivals. And
do you think, oh, keep going.
Yeah, I think that's just a better, in a way we kind of do, but I mean, why not do it for like every, like, I mean, there are horror film fests and like
right.
comedy, but like no one really talks about specific ones like that. But like, what if those were important? And like, because like Oscars really don't really highlight comedy or horror or like other genres that much. So like, why not just like make, and then also get people involved in going to film fests? Like, why wait until just the end of the year when all the good movies are out? Because they want them to be, you know, on the people's, like the Oscar voters' minds to vote on them.
Right.
So like throughout the year, you could go check out a film fest and like have it be like a normal thing.
I think this is a really neat concept, but I got a lot of questions. For sure. Instance, like I assume the vibe or the group collected by the different film festivals is different. Like obviously the horror film festival is going to attract a totally different crowd than maybe Cannes or mm-hmm. Cannes or whatever. So I do like your idea of like not looking through a single lens at a movie, which is the Oscars, but looking at it from many different angles.
Yeah.
And it's not even every movie at every different film festival. It's lots of film festivals. Maybe a single movie goes to many different ones and is stacked up against maybe totally different movies at each one.
Yeah.
Cause I would be curious to see like movies these days aren't just one thing. There's a lot of really great horror movies that people shouldn't look at as just horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like Midsommar and
yeah,
the like,
I mean,
I would love to see how they stack horror, up
like film fests. And then you could also enter them into non-horror film fests, and like different film festivals have different categories. Like they, you know, you might make a good movie and it might not get into a film fest, but it's not saying that the movie is bad. It's just that the programmers for that film fest of that year is going with a different theme, or like mm-hmm. to highlight movies that are kind of about a different topic or style. And so like with that changing, I think it makes it interesting, and it could also be like more like throughout the year there's just constantly good stuff coming out.
Yeah,
instead of having to really like wait till the end of the year.
Oh, you're totally right. That is much, you're always like looking forward to that next festival, and there's never like a clear end or beginning.
Yeah, and like a lot of the like movies like now, like why can't we release movies when they premiere at the film fest, like everywhere? Like,
yeah,
you know, something might premiere at Cannes, but like that movie is not going to hit the US theaters until December because they want it to be fresh in the Oscar voters' minds for when they're voting on it for the
right.
Academy Awards. But like, why?
Yeah, that's a good point.
If the Oscars didn't matter, like people could kind of, even if you can't go to the film fest, you can kind of watch like curated movies from the film fest at your local theater. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It also would kind of change it where like, oh, well, this movie might not hit Netflix for another 6 months. I'll go see it in the theater. Like, it could also promote it that way.
Are there festivals for non-movie stuff? Like, is there music festivals? I know there's music festivals, but they're usually
even that, like I was just thinking, like, well, what if the music fest scene also had like a convention aspect where bands released and announced albums, and like, sure, you can go like, oh wow, these are like the top 10 albums that were released at, you know, Bonnaroo this year or something.
That'd be cool. That'd be,
you know what
cool.
I mean? Like, so you're not just like going to see a live show at Bonnaroo. You're also like
going to get the debut album of your favorite band.
And you can get it on vinyl before it hits Spotify or something. I don't know. Like, you can make every piece of art like a way more in-person, engaging, fulfilling experience with events and people.
Yeah.
And not have it be like, it feels like a class system right now. Like,
it's, how much have you thought about this before we just talked about it right now? This is a really good idea.
I wake up and I think about it every day and it drives me. No, I don't know. I just think about it every now and then. Like, I think after going to, like, you know, I've gone to some small film fests in Brooklyn or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I like the whole concept of a film fest. Like, you can go and like, I don't know, even a film fest that's like, you know, it might release like a series of five different shorts in one sitting and then like three features, and like that's the film fest. Like, sure, why not? Like, it, like, highlight the film fest. Like, don't highlight, like, because at least a film fest is like a celebration of like going to see it and then talk about it, and there's a Q&A, and even it's not just like a televised event where they hand out things. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't get anything out of it. And then, you know, I don't know what, like, the best part of the Oscars is the in memorandum. Like,
yeah.
And people die all the time. So you could just do that all year.
I hope it trends in this direction. I mean, we don't, you and I necessarily don't have
that's a joke, by the way.
Sometimes it's the only way you can get recognition. We don't have any control over this, but this is, I would love if we trended in that direction.
And award shows now are just televised. It's entertainment
forced us.
Yeah. It's just, it's television for profit. Like, it's just, it's a TV show. They program it. They have writers. They sell ads. Like, movie studios generally, because of the clout of what award shows are, get what, like an extra 10 million for like whatever Oscar wins they get or something. I don't know, like just the visibility of having your movie like nominated for an Oscar or show nominated for, you know, that stuff just further promotes the show, which is good. You know, people are going to see it and it makes money for the movie and they can make new movies and the ecosystem goes on. But like, the actual award show itself is just kind of, I don't know, pointless. And like, the I mean, it's voted on by Academy members. I'm just using the Oscars. I'm sure like Grammys and other things are similar, but like, you know why, like, I don't, like, just because you're in the DGA doesn't mean you're like picking the good, like, who knows what your motive for selecting that person was. And like, that's why there's like always such a like disparity of like just old white guys winning like all the time. And like, you know, things like, you know, you could, it's just, it's kind of pointless. Like, I know, like, you can't just award yourself awards.
Yeah,
which that's what it feels like it does. It feels like the industry just gives itself awards.
Oh, thank you.
So they can then televise it and make money from the televised program. Like, it's just handing themselves a paycheck. Ultimately, it's not like a celebration of movies.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we probably should move on in a second. But that's exactly why the Golden Globes, I think, really took off. From, I was listening to the Rise and Fall.
Yeah,
and they found that just having the Golden Globes would be able to like pad the bottom line for their movies.
Right.
Just that little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like they can't do end of the year recaps and awards, but like, I don't know. Like, I don't think as a society, this is how we should like honor like the different types of art that gets released. It just doesn't,
yeah,
it doesn't really like, it just treats it like garbage, really, like exposable content. Like, I don't know.
Well, this is, so, this has been really intriguing.
Why? What do you think?
I don't think, I mean, your answer of how can we fix them, the so answer, right? Is get rid of them, is novel. And I like it. I think it's cool. Yeah. I would love a world where people are encouraged to go to festivals. I think probably the biggest problem with festivals is that they're often not as accessible for folks because you have to go there.
Yeah.
Maybe there's such a thing as online film festivals. I mean, that probably exists.
There already. Are, yeah.
But it's not the same as like bumping elbow to elbow with other people who like made it an event and went out there to hang out. I don't know that I could add anything to it. I mean, because the solution that you come up with is, mm-hmm. I think it's like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic probably to try to fix the award shows versus like maybe decentralize it like you're saying and
just get rid of them. It's not really about the award shows. It's about how we honor movies, music, and television, books, and whatever. So I guess I'm right.
Yeah. Everybody wants an Olympics where you get the best of the best to compete on a single measure, but you can't. Art isn't something you can measure on a single.
Yeah. Stick. This is kind of like pointless. Like,
it's not even about art anymore. It definitely doesn't feel like art.
Yeah.
Whereas festivals maybe do more. But let's transition into the game. We'll make it quick because we went pretty long on that.
Yeah, I don't think time matters anymore. I saw on a television show that time is just a flat circle.
What?
Yeah, I learned that.
A flat circle?
Yeah, I don't know what that means. But Matthew McConaughey said it.
Oh, is it in Interstellar?
No, I think True Detective. I forget. It was during the McConaissance.
Everybody thought time was a flat circle, and then Columbo came over and said it was a sphere or something.
Maybe.
You'll never know. All right, so here's the game. You can play along at home. It's a hard game, I think. I'm going to describe a year and kind of like maybe help you know what happened during that year.
All right.
But you have to guess what the best picture Oscar winner was in that year.
I can do it. I'll probably get it.
All right. All right. Let's go. Let's see how good you are. Oops, not this one. I want this one. All right. The year is 1965.
That's going far back.
Yeah. See, you're not good at this. All right. I'm just joking. We'll do, here's a popular, one. Okay. The year is 1969, summer 69, you know, almost the 70s.
All right. 1969. I think I know it. Midnight Cowboy.
Whoa. Is okay. It? Yeah. It's Midnight Cowboy. Great job. So that's Dustin Hoffman and John Voight.
I remember that because I remember there's a guy that like he was like friends with my sister and he was really into movies. He was a cool guy, but I remember we were talking about movies once and I was like, because it was one of those movies I thought I should watch because I was into movies, but I was like way too like I was like 15 or something when I rented it and I had no idea what was going on. And I was like, yeah, I didn't get it. And he was like, what didn't you get? And I was like, oh. And I never went back and rewatched it. But I probably like it now more now than back then. But
oh wow. Interesting. I think I had a similar experience, but didn't finish it.
Okay.
I remember them getting on a bus. I think I stopped watching like really early in the movie.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we'll go kind of like upwards in time.
Okay. Am I getting a point for each one or a point for a percentage of how many I get right?
If you get a passing grade, so 60% of this right.
All right.
I'll give you a point. Maybe we'll do 10 of these.
Okay.
Year's 1972. And let me know if you want any hints for color, what happened in 1972.
The Godfather.
Yep, good job.
That's what happened that year.
What made you know it was The Godfather?
I wasn't sure if it was The Godfather. I didn't know if it was 71 or 72. Also, I think of the year and then I think of like when the awards happened. So like, I don't know if I'm ever, I don't know. But I just knew Godfather was early 70s.
Okay. The year of the Watergate scandal, 1975.
Oh.
Oh wait. Is it that? Yeah, the year that the John N. Mitchell and Haldeman and Ehrlichman are found guilty of Watergate, 1975. What was the best picture that year? Let's see if there's any other
big events. I want it like I cuz I love this movie, but I don't think this is the answer. Oh wait, 75.
Uh-huh.
I'm probably wrong because I think this came out in 70. I'm pretty sure it came out in 76. I just have the Watergate scandal in my head, but is it All the President's Men?
Nope.
Nah.
Is that even a best picture?
I don't think it won. I think it was nominated.
And there we go. That's why these award shows are garbage.
What was it?
I'll give you a hint. Danny DeVito.
Oh, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yep. Nice job. So you are at 2 out of 3 right now. Let's see. We should probably jump into the 80s now. Let's see. All right. Well, yeah, let's just say we crack into the 80s.
Okay.
I think the Cold War is still going on in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So 1980, what happened or what won Best Picture?
Oh. I get all my 80s Oscar movies confused.
Because I think Rubik's Cube made its international debut at the British Toy and Hobby Fair in 1980.
Oh.
Jimmy Carter's president.
Because I think Kramer versus Kramer came out the year before. But
you're too good at this game.
Was it Kramer versus Kramer?
1979 is Kramer versus Kramer, yeah.
Yeah, so
no point for that though. That wasn't a question.
Right. It was 1980.
Yeah.
And I get this movie confused with Kramer versus Kramer, so that's why I'm gonna say it. Is it Ordinary People?
It is Ordinary People.
Is it?
You are an Oscar machine. So you are 3 out of 4 now.
All right.
75%. Let's see. Okay. This is the year that George Orwell thought was going to be not so good. Wasn't as bad as George Orwell thought.
1984. Yeah.
I'm not going to give you any hints about this.
Out of Africa.
That's your final answer?
Oh, I know that's wrong. But okay, yeah.
No. 1984, I saw the movie that came out this year and I was blown away that I had never even heard of it. And how did I live this long without hearing about this movie? It had a big impact on me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it must have been I was gonna say something really mean.
I want to hear what you were gonna say.
No, I was gonna like I was trying to think of a good, you know, like in The Naked Gun when he's talking, Naked Gun 2, Leslie Nielsen's talking to his like ex-wife or ex-girlfriend who's now seeing another guy. And he in Leslie Nielsen goes, I'm reading the book on I don't know, like male sexual impotence. You must have read it or something, like it's like in saying that, like he
okay, got it. So,
84,
and it's a big movie in my life. I saw it when I was a senior. No, it was either a senior or a junior, or going into junior year of high school.
I know what was the best movie of 86, but that's not the question.
Okay, it's not. You're just trying to show off.
Yeah. 84. What happened in 84?
Brunei becomes a country, I think. Independent state. The U.S. and the Vatican restore diplomatic relations. I didn't know that they were
is
ever
it, severed. I think this is wrong. Is it Chariots of Fire?
Nope. That was 81.
All right.
What was you're not going to get
it.
Amadeus.
Oh, I love that movie. Yeah. I remember watching that in high school. I rented it from the library.
Same.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Such I should rewatch movie. That.
I own it. It's a big movie for me.
Huh.
All right. The year I was born, 1985.
Is this the one year, out of Africa?
Orson Welles dies. Did I say George Orwell before or Orson Welles?
You said George Orwell.
Okay. But Orson Welles, I believe, died in 1985.
Is it out of Africa?
It is out of Africa. So you are what, 4 out of 6?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got two wrong.
You're at 66%.
Okay.
Let's get into the '90s. We got a lot of generations to go.
Yeah, we're jump ahead. I hate the '80s.
So let's do
these. I'll get right.
Yeah, probably. Let's start right off at the beginning, 1990.
Oh, maybe not.
Yeah, I figured.
Because this is the year Goodfellas came out, which we'll talk about a little later. Oh, wait. Dances with Wolves.
Damn it. All right.
Is that it?
So 5 out of 7. Yeah, it is Dances with Wolves.
Okay.
Let us jump to a movie that my sister really likes. This is probably not going to help you, but it was surprising to me that she like bought it. 1992
best picture. So Silence of the Lambs was 91.
Good. I'm glad I skipped that year
because I love that movie. I rewatched it like a week ago.
Puts the lotion on his skin or gets the hose again. You're always saying that to me.
Yeah, I say it to everybody. Well, I say it to a lot of people at work. Let's see. 92. Oh, this one's tricky.
Whether you get it or not, I got a good quote from this movie.
Are you allowed to say what other non-winners came out that year?
I can for you, yeah.
Does that count?
I gotta go a few pages into this list. Aye.
I can't even think of a movie that came out in 82.
Oh my gosh, go to the bottom, please. Okay, 92. A Few Good Men is another movie that came out that year.
That helps with nothing.
Perfect.
Scent
of a Woman.
I remember that. All right, I'm just going to let one rip. I feel like it's something stupid that you wouldn't think won a best picture.
All right, to keep you in the game and maybe the audience in the game, I'm going to give you a quote from this movie, and if you still get it right, I'll give it to you.
All right.
It's a hell of a thing, killing a man. You take away everything he ever had and ever would have.
What? What? I don't know. I give up.
The hell of a thing killing him.
Oh, wait. I know. I know what it is. Unforgiven.
Yes, it's Unforgiven. Yes.
I have it in my to watch list. I haven't seen it.
All right. I'll give that to you. So you're 6 out of 8. We got two more to go. We're going to jump. Big jumps. Definitely not to the. Oh, whoops. Wrong list. All right. We're going to jump to the year. Year 2000.
Gladiator.
Damn it. All right. There's no way for you to lose at this point. You get your point.
Well, what if I hinge the next one? I bet double or nothing.
Do you want a double or nothing? I don't know. Oh, so you get 2 points or no points?
Yeah.
All right.
Will you take it? Will you take that bet?
I will take the bet. I'll give you 2 points to tie us up. This is how I lose points. Oh, okay.
This is how I lose points.
I'm going to just pick a dead spot in your mind. All right. The year that the world was supposed to fall apart was 2012.
Oh, no.
What was the best picture in the year 2012? I'm going to get
The Artist.
No points. Oh, you just missed it. You just missed it.
What was it?
It's Argo.
I knew it.
2011 is The Artist.
See, I lost all my points. I flew too close to the sun.
The 2010s are just like a dead blind spot. You don't think about that. At least I don't.
Yeah, I don't.
Can you think of any other best pictures around that time?
Well, The Artist.
The Artist. Any other ones?
The King's Speech.
Yeah, so that was 2010. All right, you're pretty good, actually. What about 2013?
I don't remember 2013.
12 Years a Slave.
Oh, yeah. I still haven't seen that.
How come there's not a winner for 2014? 8 for 2009.
Oh, 2009, they canceled it that year.
Why?
Everyone had explosive diarrhea.
Is this like a typo or something? Was there really no 2009?
No, there was. Hurt Locker.
Okay. They typed it wrong here. IMDb has an issue. It says
Hurt Locker.
Oh, maybe it came out in 2008, but somehow made it into 2009's Oscars.
I don't know.
That's possible because, like, I think it's like February to February, so it's possible it came out like right before. Okay. Well, hopefully that didn't happen previously and that you actually won, but I don't think all the rest of them look chronological. All right. So you get no points. But you did really well.
That was fun.
That's our segment on what's the deal with award shows.
I love gambling. So that was good.
Yeah. You got your itch scratched for today.
Worth it. Worth the point.
All right. So next segment.
We're going to talk about more movies. So this is a very movie focused episode.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to I'm using Letterboxd now. I haven't been. I'm going to log movies. I'm also going to plan to see movies because I will scroll endlessly.
Yeah. Let's see how long you last on Letterboxd.
Probably as long as I did the first time I tried it 2 or 3 years ago.
I feel like I stay up late at night with Letterboxd and then never look at it again and then do it again years later.
I always jump into it and I go, oh, I see the movies I logged the first time I attempted this. I just, for some reason, I just don't want to use it.
I don't know what it is about it,
but a lot of people use it.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, I just love giving up on it. So I'm trying to be a little good about it.
New Year's resolution.
And I also want to be more specific with how I curate movies to myself. Right. I'm trying not to overwatch movies. I'm trying not to just randomly pick and then watch. I'm trying to plan and pair movies kind of thing. So last weekend what I did, I watched, I don't know why I wanted to watch mob movies.
Oh.
I just was I think I stumbled upon Donnie Brasco and I was like, oh yeah, I never watched this. I'll watch it. And then I was like, oh, I'll watch Goodfellas too, because I wanted to rewatch that.
Right.
So that was my weekend. I watched Donnie Brasco, Goodfellas. Still trying to convince Tawny to let me get like a Goodfellas poster or a Scarface poster we could put in the middle of the living room.
To look more like a college dorm.
I think it'd be classy the place up a little.
It probably would.
I just remember so many people in college.
Yeah.
Those like Goodfellas, Scarface, maybe the Godfather. I don't really remember the Godfather, but at least Goodfellas or Scarface people had those posters.
I had Abbey Road. I think that was the only poster I had.
I had Abbey Road. Yeah. And I had a Salvador Dali.
Interesting.
Yeah. That should be a segment.
College I wish posters. I got a Salvador. Yeah, that would be. Is that still a thing even? We'll find out in that segment.
College, they must. I mean, we just graduated, what, like 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, officially. I'm caught up in the paperwork.
I'm sure they still put posters on their wall. So, yeah, digital I wanted posters. To. So. Donnie Brasco was a first-time watch. Goodfellas was a rewatch.
Right.
I don't know why I didn't enjoy Goodfellas as much this time around. I don't know. I don't know why. But I remember really liking it and liked it as much as like it gave me that like kind of like this is one of them like you watch it on like an afternoon. It's a classic. It's like. There's a lot going on. It's always entertaining. Mm-hmm. And it was. But I feel like I was less emotionally attached to it. Maybe that's why. I think it lost its spark. It wasn't it's not a bad movie by any means. It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe also I watched Donnie Brasco first and I had never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where, have you seen Donnie Brasco?
I haven't seen either of these movies.
You have it.
No.
What do you think Donnie Brasco is about?
Johnny Depp trying to be a gangster.
Wrong. But I thought that too. When you look at the poster, right? It's Johnny Depp and Al Pacino walking down the street. I'm like, oh, Johnny Depp's trying to be a gangster. He's learning from Al Pacino. Mm-hmm. No, throw all that out. The movie is about Johnny Depp is an undercover FBI agent.
Oh,
and he gets undercover. Involved in... He makes his inway with Al Pacino, but Al Pacino is like a lower class mob guy in the hierarchy.
Oh,
like he's actually it's kind of he plays a more desperate, pathetic character than I thought.
So he's not cool.
No, he's not.
Oh,
hoo-ah. What are you talking about? He does some good yelling. Classic Pacino's.
classic Pacino. I feel like that's all he's boiled down into over the years. Is just
I yell think there's just people. Actors that are just if they can make a career on being able to just burst into absolute insanity. I feel like Joaquin Phoenix is a little like that. I mean he's got range.
He did good that recent one.
Yeah, that's true. He was pretty low key. That was surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. Donnie Brasco. So Johnny
directed
Donnie Brasco. I don't know, remember his name, but it wasn't like wasn't an auteur.
Sure.
But it's based on a true story. So I did watch a random YouTube video about it, and a lot of it was true to life, and they used the guy so like what it was based on. Hold on. Let me pull it up.
Donnie Brasco. This is
the I type in Donnie song. Brasco and IMDb, nothing comes up. I type it in with an O. Wait, at
do
the
you
end.
Think Donnie Brasco is trying to get taken off the internet like Elon Musk was on our last episode?
Yeah. it's the only way.
Wow. Oh.
It was Joe Pistone. It's I think that's Joe real life Stone? Guy. So yeah, Joe pissed on E.
Joe pissed on E.
Well, anyways, Johnny Depp plays Joe Pistone. But he plays his undercover character, Donnie Brasco.
Oh.
Al Pacino plays this guy, Lefty, who's been around for a long time, but he never really got, like, rose up in the ranks or anything. So,
do you think he got performance reviews to help him with his growth?
Well, yeah. I think they did.
He just wasn't listening or trying to make progress.
Yeah,
there?
Maybe he was just comfortable where he was at. Sometimes that happens. Michael Madsen plays Sonny, who does get, you know, upper in the ranks.
He's probably doing more visible projects.
Right. I think he was just communication skills over Zoom calls were better. but so like I thought it was fascinating this weekend learning about like how you get in, like you kind of like get vouched for in a way. And then, I mean, basically all they just sit around and think of crimes to do.
they have brainstorming sessions around crimes.
Yeah. It's just business. Like, it's like, they're like, they just have to meet a certain income level to send to the top.
Huh?
And they can take whatever, but like they owe a certain amount to the higher ups each level. So it gets to the top. So I don't know what it is, but I think the movie, I think Johnny Depp was not
he could have just been real cool about it.
I just like watching Alyssa sneak in. I just think Johnny Depp's performance wasn't very good. And
really?
It was something I don't think normally notice.
Got it.
But he just overplayed it. But like,
old was he in this? Or like, where in his career was he on Donnie Brasco?
This was 97, so this was after Fear and Loathing.
Okay. Really?
But this was, before...
I thought Fear and Loathing was like 2000s.
This was like after a lot of Tim Burton stuff, and now. But yeah, I was pretty fascinated by the hierarchy of the mob system, and I saw a lot of parallels when I watched Goodfellas,
right?
As well, it works in the same way. Speaking of which, Goodfellas, great movie. But so like, what I was wondering when I guess even after both, they're both kind of sad stories in a way, because like the way that Donnie Brasco, like, and this isn't really spoiling it, this is just a scene where Johnny Depp is he's awarded like a medal and then like a check for like $500
from the FBI.
Yeah, and he
at
was
their Oscar
he was
ceremony.
Six. Yeah, he was 6 years undercover for the mob, wow. And it's just like this. Really, and like the scene has like his daughters and his wife, and there's always the scenes where like, you don't understand my work, and he's throwing things, and like because he's so tormented because of his double life.
That is tough. Spider-Man had similar problems.
Yeah. But so there's just like this moment where they're like kind of like the brass comes in, they do a photo op, they hand them the thing and like the check or whatever. And then like they walk out and it's just like the family in there. And it's just kind of like, it's like this really like, is this, no one says anything, but it's like, is this worth it moment? Was this worth like abandoning your family and like,
right,
not like the torment that you went for 6 years?
I mean, he got a medal for it,
right?
That's pretty cool.
But like, what kind of medal?
Well, maybe a gold medal, hopefully.
I guess he could put it on his resume.
I She just, I feel like she went, she didn't even get anything. She's just going through the loud drawers.
Oh, the loud drawers, you have different.
Well, yeah, we organize by volume.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I guess we do.
Put all the loud stuff together.
Yeah. Yeah, so where was I? Oh, yeah. So the whole thing's pointless. Don't go under. And like he was like to the breaking point where like they wanted him to kill somebody. And the FBI, if you're undercover, they're like, you can't do that. So like they just,
I think the FBI, it doesn't even matter if you're undercover. They're like, you just can't kill people.
Right. Well, I heard that was illegal.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
You'd be surprised. They get away with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, do people even really go undercover that much in real life?
I don't think it happens that much anymore.
It just seems like a weird strategy.
Yeah, it doesn't seem worth it. I don't know.
Like, how is it even legal?
I don't know. It does happen. Oh, okay. Yeah, it does. Because so I ran into, I can't blow the cover. So I ran into a person and I go, oh, hey, because he got hired as a law enforcement person.
Uh-huh.
I go, do you know so-and-so? I knew so-and-so. And he goes, oh, yeah, so-and-so. You probably wouldn't even recognize him. He does all the undercover work.
Oh, because he's probably got like a big Grateful Dead beard now.
Yeah, he's at Grateful Dead concerts trying to entrap 20-year-olds selling hits of helium. Or no, wait, what are the whippets?
Yeah, yeah. So you actually know someone who's gone undercover or knew them prior?
I mean, I guess I knew them in some form. I don't know them now.
Got it. Interesting.
I can't say anything. I don't want to blow their cover.
We should do an episode where we bring them on and interview them, and they can change their voice or whatever.
We do the screen about
Donnie Brasco.
We disguise their voice.
Yeah, exactly.
So they talk like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it still goes on, I guess. Probably, but like what, for drugs? Like, why are we paying a guy to? Just give the people the drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of pointless. So anyways, Goodfellas. Same. So what I didn't. But like, you know, there's a reason why people always got Scarface and Goodfellas posters. It's like this. I think this is what kind of interests me in the topic. It was power. Like, right. How we idolize power.
Yeah.
But the same not thing me. Got questioned. It got brought up. I forget where I was came across it. Why people like James Bond is it, or why like it really is pleasing for people to watch, because it's this mixture of you
freedom and power.
Power, but like specialized power, where they're given powers outside of the law. Like he is given a license to kill, for example, James Bond.
Yeah.
So like people really like to fantasize about these moments where they have this they're given like this ultimate power to bestow and lay upon justice in its ultimate form, and they no one has to answer to anyone but him outside of the law,
right?
Which I always thought was pretty interesting, like with mob movies, like why people idolize in the mafia life is it's sort of the same thing. Like it's this class system where they can operate outside of the law and they have free range to, you know, rule their society and civilization whatever way they see fit.
I mean, anybody can start a crime organization.
Right. But I think it's not what's legal. More appealing of like Mafia is the actual class system and the hierarchy and like the rules of it. It's its own, you know, living, breathing kind of society.
Because it's simple, because it's just like whoever is the most ruthless rises up.
Yeah. Power.
Instead money. Of like, oh, I hope I didn't offend somebody with that email.
But yeah.
That kind of like,
is that how you more complex social work?
Offending people with emails?
No, like you operate like the mafia.
I do. I'm very ruthless. Yeah, I'll do whatever it takes to get up to the top. And if I have to, you know,
okay,
do what you got. You do what you got to do.
Yeah.
No,
totally.
I don't like the mafia at all. I think that's a silly way to run things. It's not the world I want to live in. I would be happy if we didn't have mafias.
Yeah.
And if people are listening to this and they got off me or whatever,
right,
then probably a waste of your time to do that.
Well,
to be honest,
Goodfellas does a good job of showing like how kind of sad a lot of it becomes. Like it basically it but the mafia lifestyle, and it's based on a true story of mm-hmm. like how the mafia grows into the, like, that was another thing, is it was about 70s mafia, like Donnie Brasco was about it too and things got like it. That but you know, not necessarily, and I guess even, you know, it is from a long-standing tradition going to like Sicily, where, you know, parts of Italy are actually, I think, still controlled under mafia rule in a way.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, it's, which, you know, you can only become a made man, and you can't touch a made man, but you can
I'm
only
part Italian.
Become a made man is if you are 100% Italian.
Oh, I'm only a little bit. My grandfather, he was a little boy in Italy, and his parents were killed by the mafia. He really? Got revenge. He killed wow. the mafia leader, and he hid in a barrel. He made it to America, and then when he was over here, he got a new life. He ended up becoming a don.
Mm-hmm.
And he died. He was just playing in a garden with one of his grandkids, and he had a heart attack, and he died.
That's crazy, man. Wow.
Yes, it is pretty crazy. You're the first person I've ever told.
Wow, this is big news. Anyways, yeah, Goodfellas is all right. They just kind of become drug addicts at the end. And it's
that's
like
how this goes. Like in Godfather 3 was the drug addicts too, right? They just got into drugs. Happens? I thought like the whole thing was they wanted to avoid getting into drugs.
I never, this is a bit, like I've never seen the Godfather movies.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I just don't care to see them. I don't know why.
Oh my gosh.
And I know we're talking about Goodfellas and Nebraska.
I've never seen any of the like Scorsese gangster movies.
Oh.
But I saw Godfather pretty late. I was like in
college.
You've
never seen Goodfellas and what else? Casino?
Money?
Did you see Departed?
Departed is like one of the few. I saw Departed. I saw Aviator. I've seen some of the more modern Scorsese movies.
It's such a good one.
Taxi Driver is Scorsese, right?
Yes.
But that was like one of his very first ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw that. That I liked. Like, I thought it was a good movie. I didn't like think, hey, I should do that. But maybe I didn't need to say that.
Hmm. Yeah.
So I guess what are the takeaways you want me to have out of this?
Don't join the mob.
All right.
It's not worth it.
I'll,
and I don't have a game for this, so we're just going to play the movie plot guessing game.
All right.
Which is a game we thought of last night, which I think is funny. I'm just going to make it up.
Okay. Can you explain the game? Or are you doing that?
Yeah. So I will describe a movie awkwardly, and Anton has to guess what movie it is.
Uh-huh.
So for example, wait, what was the example last night?
Okay. The example is a woman enters a new town and kills someone right off the bat, and she joins up with three strangers to kill again.
Right.
And the movie is?
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just going to make this up as I go along. Two hardened criminals attempt to murder a child to steal.
I know what this is.
What,
I know
is, what this it? Is
Home Alone.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so that's one.
Two wet bandits.
Oh yeah, wet bandits. This is actually harder than I thought.
It is hard.
Let's you see.
Cut out the thinking though.
Yeah, we'll cut out all the boring thinking parts. I can't think of the plots of any of these movies.
For anybody watching on the video, you got Alyssa's nice lamp in the back here.
It's cool. Oh, that's lamp. Pretty nice. A pervert watches his neighbors with a set of binoculars.
Rear Window.
Yes.
Yeah. He's a pervert, though. That's taking some license with it.
He's a pervert. We all know it.
Are you just thinking of movies off the cuff, or you got a list in front of you?
Oh, I'm scrolling the IMDb top 250 list.
Okay, cool. They keep diluting it by increasing the number of the top. IMDb's top million movies.
A family goes for a winter getaway in the remote hills.
Oh, Shining.
Colorado. Yeah. I'm not too good at this.
Maybe you are good at this, and I'm just really good at this for once.
Yeah, three.
Yeah. Oh, is this out of 10 or something? How do I get a point?
Five. I don't know.
All right, out of five. Okay. What I get? I got to get it perfect?
Yeah.
Okay. Five out of five. If I get that, I get a point?
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully I've seen all these movies.
A sad boy wants to forget about his girlfriend.
Oh, Eternal Sunshine for the Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
Sad boy. Alrighty then.
I don't like any of these movies.
It's okay if you don't like the movie. I kind of want to get more coffee.
Okay.
But not right now. I'll wait till we're done recording. Coffee break. That might be a cool cut. A cut to me making coffee.
A woman wants to kill the father of her baby and all of his friends.
Oh, Kill Bill.
All right, you got all five.
Those are good, actually. They're good descriptions. I'm right now. I feel like I could probably solve the Sunday crossword.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Here's an interesting. So have you heard of Wordle? Tawny was just telling me.
Everybody's talking about it, and I don't want to get involved because everybody's talking about it now.
So I didn't know, but you hear the story behind it.
I don't know anything other than the word Wordle.
So like
that everybody's talking about it.
People were talking up the game, but apparently like a few years ago, this guy invented a Wordle app that's a different game.
Okay.
And because people are trying to find the game,
they find his old app,
a web-based game. They're finding the app.
Oh,
so he's getting all these downloads. Yeah. He thought it was a dead project from like 2012 or something.
That's what happened with a lot of games. Like Among Us was dead for like 2 years before people found it and picked it back up.
I mean, he got me. I downloaded the app. And then Tony's like, oh, no, that's the wrong one. You got to play it on the line.
Was it called Wordle?
Yeah.
Oh, so he has like a copyright claim too, probably about the name. Maybe you have to get a trademark or something.
He should sue.
He should only sue after he gets all the money from people playing his old game. Wait, is it the same game?
I don't know.
Oh, that would be really crazy if it was the same name and the same game.
Yeah. All right. End of segment.
Next segment.
You get a point.
Oh,
I'll update it.
Yeah. 3 points. That's a negative point. Why are you giving me? I had 2 points already.
Damn it. You found out.
You just changed the 2 points to 1 point. We need to get a visual scoreboard. We're trying to 1% improve.
Yeah, we're going to improve it.
We could do that.
Time. Yeah. We'll try.
And it's got to have like a three-piece orchestra play when the scoreboard comes up. All right, next segment is Crystal Ball. It's a segment where I like to think about the future all the time. So I'm going to just like make this a maybe more common segment where we think about the future of things. This time I want to think about the future of VR.
Yeah.
And the main reason I want to discuss it a little bit is because I saw a video recently. I watch a lot of videos with Elon Musk because YouTube thinks I love Elon Musk, and therefore because of the feedback loop, I do love Elon Musk now because I watch all these videos they recommend to me and I just keep clicking them and it's just like all I see is Elon Musk.
So they got you.
They got me. He's got me. so he's not a perfect person, but I like the general things that he's trying to do. Long story short, he is not a fan of VR. He thinks that it's cumbersome in its current manifestation of having to put like a headset on.
But not its final form.
Yeah. His whole thing is Neuralink, which is one of the companies he owns, which is trying to make tighter brain computer interfaces.
Yeah.
And it did feel quite a bit like he was less bashing VR and more trying to push Neuralink.
Yeah.
So first off, what's been your experience with VR?
So at my last job, my company for holidays, because of coronavirus, we didn't have a company retreat. So we decided to do a half holiday party, half company retreat. It was a VR day. And we sent everybody in the company a VR headset. Everyone got one for their gift and your gift. So I got a free Oculus 2.
Quest 2 or 2.
Sure. And then they gave us like 2 games we can get with it. And then they built like a gallery in there. Mm-hmm. So we could check out the company because they did
that's neat.
UX, UI design. You can walk around, see people.
How was it?
It's fun. Yeah, surprisingly, the whole day went as planned.
Oh, it was a full day event?
Yeah, but there was something like Zoom call. Like it wasn't all in VR because people got headaches and stuff.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Did anybody get headaches or complain about it?
Not really, because like it wasn't that. Because it's like you could sign up to play games with people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could also do the museum tour.
Right.
They changed last minute. Like they're going to actually do some of the talks in in there, but they just decided to do over Zoom.
Got it.
Just to give people a break. And then yeah. So we all got in. So I got a headset. This is about over a year ago. And then around this time, you know, I purchased a few more games, but now I pretty much just use it for mini golf. Exclusively.
How often do you do that?
I haven't played probably in like a month or two.
Got it.
But now, I play every once in a while.
Gotcha. John Carmack, who is the contracting CTO, I guess, of Oculus at face of Meta now.
Yeah.
He is a delight to watch anytime he gives a talk because he does a good job of navigating the low level details. And he always comes off as like blunt and truthful.
Mm-hmm.
And not like trying to like you go watch a bunch of Meta videos on Facebook and they're just like they're very markety and fake feeling, and then you see John Carmack and he's just like telling you how it is.
Right.
Not that I'm a big believer in the such a thing as how it is, but his take is super.
He tells it like it is.
Yeah. As there's only one perspective on things. But his perspective is cool because he's in it. And he, like, I don't know if anybody knows about John Carmack, but he's the guy who created Doom, or one of the guys who created Doom.
Oh, really?
Yep. You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Okay. Doom, Wolfenstein. He was someone who is well known for taking hardware that was not really well suited for 3D graphics, mm-hmm. and getting 3D graphics going, or simulated. I mean, everything's simulated, but
yeah,
this is before we have GPUs that can do really fast polygon or matrix math that can give us the kind of rendering that we have today.
Okay.
So he had to do that on the old CPUs that we had back in the early 90s and late 80s. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people look to him as being like a real brilliant person for being able to make the computers do those things at the time where the hardware was not so great.
Yeah.
And he's always been interested in the metaverse, and that's his like end goal in a lot of ways, is to how to, can we get to that future where like technology and reality are blended together.
Yeah.
But his talk was about the biggest takeaway I got is that most VR people or consumers today are lapsed VR people, meaning that unlike cell phones or smartphones, where as soon as people got them, there's no lapsed cell phone people. There's no one I think it's probably pretty rare that somebody got a smartphone and is like, yeah, it's not for me. I'm going back to landlines.
Yeah.
Like, but that happens with VR. A lot of people get VR headsets. They play with it for a little bit and then they end up in the closet. So yeah, a lot of people are buying them, but they're not using it much.
Yeah.
And you're one of those.
Right. I don't see aside from mini golf, none of the games really like do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the even like apps or anything. I like, what else am I going to do in there?
What would doing it for you look like? You play Half-Life quite a bit, or have.
I mean, yeah,
you're not playing it every day, but
it still would be like, I would rather exist in that. Like, I don't want something on my head. Like, I can play Half-Life, mm-hmm. and like put on a podcast and like eat and like, sure. not feel like I have to be fully immersed in it.
So
where VR requires that fully.
I mean, your headset has a camera on it, so you can do the pass through seeing of what's around you. What if there was a game that took advantage of that better?
I don't know. Maybe. I guess
like a slight overlay of like you're in a big 3D open world, but you can still see your living room somehow.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, Her? Remember the movie Her?
Yeah.
I love Her. Alyssa is who I'm talking about. But I also love the movie Her. And there was a video game in that movie, and I thought that was a really neat, like, augmented reality video game.
Yeah.
Where it looked like it was, like, holographically in your living room.
That's a good idea.
Okay. I guess what I'm trying to get at here is, do you think VR is going to pick up? There was a huge increase around Christmas time. A lot of people got headsets.
Is it because of the metaverse announcement?
I do think that's reinvigorated a lot of energy for sure, but I'm not sure. Actually, let's take a look.
I was confused why Bill Gates said that in 3 years, people are going to be doing meetings in the metaverse.
I mean, if the technology gets good enough and it feels better, I would agree with him. But
I know, but like, do you know, like, people's like technical skill know-how level, like the average person? Like, I just don't see it.
Interesting. The largest spike in VR actually on Google was in December of 2016. And we have not come even close to that high since then. Actually, mind if I share my screen real quick?
Do it.
Oh, host disabled screen sharing.
Well, I guess not. Don't worry about it.
You can't turn it on?
Oh, maybe. Oops.
Oh. We're just clicking every button.
Share screen. It's not an option.
What about participants or something?
There's a share screen thing.
I'll come in a minute. Thank you. Alyssa made breakfast for us at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Better late than never.
Yeah, gotta eat sometime. Thanks, Alyssa. All right, well, it's not a huge deal.
Yeah, I can't.
Whatever. Actually, maybe you can share this if I send it to you.
Don't worry about it. Just tell us.
Well, I mean, VR, like Google Trends starts around 2004. That's when they keep track of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really low interest up until, let's see, when is this? 2015, it really starts to pick up. Absolutely spikes at its highest in December 2016. And then it's had a few like yearly spikes, probably in December's, if I was to guess. Yeah, probably around Christmas time when new headsets or something come out. Yeah, it's every December it spikes. Interesting. It's very like December. I bet it really is about people buying stuff for Christmas.
Yeah.
That's why they're Googling it. And there was a bit of a uptick this last year, but
there's nothing else left to buy people for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And that could be a segment too, is like, what can we do about Christmas? I don't want any more things.
I don't either. I don't want cheap Amazon things. I don't want like stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that's a different topic.
Yeah. So two big questions I have. Do you think that VR will have flatline where it is or double in market size over the next 5 years?
I think it'll double.
Okay.
Right? It has to. I like, they have a thing and they're only going to make it better and promote it. So I don't see why it wouldn't. I don't think it means it's necessary or will be good.
Mm-hmm. What do you think would take for us to switch video? I think it's
more augmented reality than VR.
Is what's going to take off?
Yeah, like Apple's glasses, like being able to kind of see and overlay things in the real world with certain, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if we could get that really good where you don't even need
shopping online for a couch, like a really comfortable couch, maybe to replace like a couch that isn't comfortable.
Yeah.
And then you can see with your Apple glasses how it would look and fit in your apartment.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's been a lot of what people have been chatting about. So, getting there, I think, will require a lot of artificial intelligence, to be honest, to be able to eliminate the couch you already have in your room.
Mm-hmm.
Visually, and then replace it with a new couch. And
you can see what it would look like with friends hanging out on it.
For lonely people. Imagine if you only had friends, what your couch could look like. You think that the AR is the angle, if we can get into that unobtrusive but useful world?
Yeah, because I think if Facebook or Windows keeps at it, it's going to be garbage and you have to like, nothing's going to work. And Apple will probably have something clean but less VR-y, and you know, I don't know, they're all going to have a thing.
You can put heads up displays like that for sure in your vision, but like, how do you control it? How do you navigate whatever app is going to let you put a couch in your room and place it where you want? Like, are you using voice commands or something?
Yeah,
and be like, Siri, no, 3 inches to the left. Siri, no, stop. I wanted red.
Or no, you'll have the Matrix gloves. Or not the Matrix, Minority Report.
There are patents for that, actually.
And you can pick up things.
Okay. So maybe some of the things that people are dabbling in for VR user interfaces and experimenting with and building up the skills for will come into AR, and AR will be the next thing until, I think, like Elon Musk says, we have brain computer interfaces where you just, there's a really tight tie between what you're doing and what you're seeing and all of that.
Yeah.
Which is risky. I don't know. BCI, brain computer interfaces, is something that I think probably most people aren't going to want, especially if you have to get surgery for it.
Yeah.
Not even probably. I don't think anybody wants elective brain surgery. Or a very small fraction, like less than 1%. So cool. It sounds like you are optimistic on VR, or at least AR, but not really getting much out of it right now.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And I think the difference, I don't care about hardware sales. I think what's really going to make them like tell if it's doing well is software sales.
Right.
If there's continual software sales in the VR space, that's what's going to indicate that it's
right
healthy. So I mean,
isn't that true? Like what? Like I was this you telling me this or someone that Xbox operates at a loss? Like of the actual...
some of the consoles, like Xbox and I think PlayStation. I don't know if they still
do.
We talked
about this on the show.
We may have. Nintendo never does that, from what I understand. They always
right.
That's why they have older hardware.
I mean, that's why they're soft. They sell software. That's their main.
They focus on experiences. I mean, their hardware is always weird and one of a kind, often.
Yeah.
Except Switch was kind of a somewhat of a return to form there.
Okay.
I mean, hardware can be lucrative, but software, I think that's where you can really get the profit, because it's easy to distribute software. Hardware has all those challenges in distribution.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was neat to chat about. To finish this out, to kind of explore this idea a little bit, what the game to end this is, what existing games or experiences in life, games or like maybe video games that you play or experiences in life, would be absolutely terrible in VR?
Okay. Like
probably depends which VR you're
imagining. So we're trying to think of the worst VR games.
Yeah.
Or just VR apps.
Sure. Yeah.
You know how they have those like, there's like the job simulator games.
Mm-hmm.
They have things like dentist simulator where like you're at the dentist.
Oh, you are the person who's getting done. You're not.
Or you're the dentist.
You're the dentist might be fun.
But it's like you got to like clean someone else's mouth.
Yeah, thank you. Cleaning somebody else's mouth might be cool.
Right.
Precision would be hard in that. A lot of blood.
Yeah, I mean, same with like operator.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if there are surgery games. So these games sound fun, the ones you're describing.
You know, I think Yorgos, you know, who made the movie The Lobster?
Yeah.
He made a movie. I forget what it was called. Where you basically hire someone that, I'm going to mess this up. The actual plot, but hold on, talk while I look this up.
So are you looking to
all right, get never a better mind.
Credit score? Oh, you found it already?
Alps, that's what it was.
Alps, I haven't even heard of that.
They start a business where they impersonate the recently deceased in order to help their clients through the grieving process.
Oh,
I would not be surprised if in VR they have similar, like what if it's like a VR experience that like helps you either like to cope or comprehend or like to.
That's a Black Mirror episode.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
It's the one of the only ones I haven't seen. It's got the guy from Frank in it, the red haired guy. He's playing. He's a robot version of his dead self because his girlfriend or wife really had a lot of trouble after he died. So she bought that.
Huh. But yeah, there's probably tons of like crazy, you know, messed up situations where like this could be like experienced in VR, or even like a simulator to like tell like a child terrible news or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
so you think these are bad?
Like, no, like it's like a, they're not like fun VR games.
Yeah, they're not fun.
You know, like prepares, like teaches you how to like tell someone really bad news or like, I don't know, something.
Yeah. You know, I actually had to do discrimination training for work, and I did it Friday night, and it was like 2 hours of like watching little videos. That would be maybe not good in VR.
No.
But I don't know if it's necessarily
they put you in the shoes of someone being discriminated, and it's just a guy yelling at you for like an hour.
Actually, you know, it's not a bad thought. It'd probably be a lot more engaging than what it is now.
I did that for my job recently, like maybe a few months ago. I thought they did a really good job with the videos.
I did too.
They've improved them. Were they the City of New York ones?
Pretty good actors. What?
Were they the City of New York ones?
It didn't seem specific to New York.
I feel like the one I saw was like made in New York or something. But anyways, good job, video team.
Yeah.
But yeah, why? What are some bad games that you would think that would suck in VR?
I'm just going to throw stuff out there. But this is stuff I don't even really like. Anyway, fishing. But fishing might be nice to just chill.
There's already fishing VR games.
Oh, okay. I like where you were going with doctor's appointment. I think a doctor's appointment would be awkward.
Yeah.
Not fun. But like, what would be a good game that's not good?
What if they translated Hitman into VR, but it's more realistic?
It's just realistic like an open how word. Like you like, have to go home to your
there's,
family.
There's like some messed up ideas you could do in
VR. Yeah. Honestly, like a lot of the stuff that we already have in VR kind of sucks in VR.
Yeah.
Like I liked Half-Life Alyx a lot. I thought it was really cool and neat.
Yeah.
But moving in that game, the teleportation system is just like, we can't have that be the way you like VR. I don't think is going to be big if the way you move is teleporting.
Right. Yeah, I hear you. But that would involve like a mechanism that mirrors your walking, and then you need to like be able to walk through, you know.
And your inner ear is probably the most challenging thing to deal with. That's why you get motion sickness and stuff, because your inner ear isn't accelerating in the way that your vision is.
Yeah.
Maybe people will buy artificial inner ears that can... just solve that. Any other thoughts there?
No.
Yeah.
I can't think of any.
I was hoping there would be something real funny, but like, I think VR is already not in a great spot per se today. It's great for enthusiasts and people who like interesting new things.
And mini golf.
Yeah, and mini golf. Cool. Well, I would say that's the end of the segment. And, end of the show.
All right.
So thanks for listening, and we'll have another episode out next week.
Cool. See ya.
See ya. Have a great day.